And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 594 of your pew Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. The power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. As we go about our everyday lives, we all encounter people, friends and relatives, family members, co-workers, neighbors, who have situations in their lives which cause them problems and heartaches without ceasing. We all know folks like that with problems just seem to overwhelm them. And we know that what they need is a relationship with God through Christ, and they'll be able to handle their situation with greater success. Not that the problems will go away, we don't preach that, but they'll be able to better handle what life throws their way when they're walking hand in hand with the Lord. We know that from our own experience. And you know that the gospel is what they need to hear, but you're hesitant to speak up because you're afraid that it might seem too pushy. For many Christians, Paul's words in verse 16 bring us a sense of guilt, for we cannot make the declaration that he makes when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because we are ashamed to publicly declare our faith in the gospel. But if we consider the rest of Paul's statement, where he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, we'll then realize that the gospel is God's most precious work in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls, and that his power saturates every declaration of the good news of Jesus Christ. The power of God saturates every proclamation of the gospel. So all you got to do is tell it and let the power of God do the work. And because of that power, God's power, we should declare the gospel boldly whenever we get the chance. After all, we know the power of the gospel because it was that same gospel that saved us, if we're saved. Because the gospel represents the power of God to save souls, we must declare with boldness wherever we go. But some may ask, how do we get this boldness to witness? And what do we have to do to receive the power that we need to accomplish this great task? Well, the answer is in the text. So let's turn to the text to discover the power of the gospel. If you turn back with Paul in Romans chapter 1 to verse 1, he declares how he became a declarer of the gospel. Verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We must declare the gospel with boldness because it represents the power of the promises of God. The power of the promises of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ represents the fulfillment of God's promise to the world that a Savior would be sent through Israel. God told Abraham that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And he was talking about Jesus. And he repeated that same promise to Abraham's son Isaac. He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he was talking about Jesus. And he repeated it again to Isaac's son Jacob. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he was talking about Jesus. And when God told Moses that he would send a prophet after him to declare the word of God to the people of Israel, he was still again talking about Jesus. And when God told David that his seed would occupy the throne of the kingdom of Israel forever, he was talking about Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who can occupy a seat forever. And God told Isaiah that he would send one to Israel who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He was talking about Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. In fact, throughout the scriptures where you see the promises of God, they're all pointing to Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself reminds this very fact to a bunch of Pharisees with which he was speaking in John chapter 5, verse 39. He was saying, search the scripture, because in the scriptures you think you have the promise of eternal life. And these same scriptures testify of me. So we should not be afraid to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. God has promised this good news 2,000 years before he delivered it, back with Abraham. And it's now been 2,000 years since the promise was fulfilled. And God's word is still good. God's word is still good. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So we should declare it boldly, because God stands behind his word. He promised salvation to all who believe. The gospel is still good news, and the gospel is still powerful. We just need to tell it boldly, because the world needs to hear. The world needs to hear. We need to tell it boldly, because people are living today with no purpose for their living. We need to tell it boldly, because people today are living with no knowledge of God's love. We need to tell it boldly, because people today are dying with no hope at all. We must declare the gospel boldly, because it represents the power of the promises of God. And God's promises are powerful. But God has even more than his promise behind the gospel. Look at the text again as it continues in verse 3. Paul continues on. He says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We must declare the gospel with boldness, because it represents the power of the Son of God. The power of the Son of God. God's promise became a reality with the birth of Jesus into the world as mankind's representative. That's what Jesus was, mankind's representative. Jesus himself tells us of the love that is demonstrated by what the gospel brings to us. In that old familiar passage, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The gospel has power because God sent the best that he had to secure our salvation. The gospel has power because God was not satisfied to let man languish in his own sin. He sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that very thing. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He was not obligated to show mercy, but he chose to show mercy. Praise God. And that's why the gospel is such good news. And that's why the angels were singing on the night of the Lord's birth. They were singing because they saw the mercy of God unfold towards man. There was an earlier time when the angels saw the wrath of God without mercy unfold. When Satan rebelled against God and took one-third of the angels of heaven with him, God banished them from his presence with no redeemer in sight. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. He could have done the same thing with man. He could have just let mankind remain where they were after Adam and Eve had sinned, separated from God and eternally lost. But God had a remedy for man's sin, which he had prepared before creation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. His sacrifice was determined by God before man ever came into being. And that's why the gospel is such good news. God has always planned for you to be in his eternal presence. He has made eternal preparations for you to be with him. It was always in his plan for your salvation to occur. You just need to believe and receive the power that God has provided for you. Romans 1:16 said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So we must declare the gospel with boldness because it represents the power of the Son of God. The gospel has the power of the Son of God behind it, so we should declare it boldly. But it's not just the power of what Christ did in the past that gives the gospel its power. God is still empowering his gospel, and he's doing that with his Spirit. Look at verse 4 again. It says, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We must declare the gospel with boldness because it represents the power of the Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit testified to the power of the gospel by resurrecting Jesus from the dead. And the Holy Spirit will demonstrate that same resurrection power in your life if you yield yourself to it. You just need to yield yourself to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to give the gospel power by changing the lives of those who accept Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, the gospel would just be a history lesson. We would say, well, Jesus came and saved some folks a long time ago, and we haven't heard from him since. But that's not the way it is. The Holy Spirit makes the power of the gospel available to us today. The Holy Spirit brings the salvation of God into our lives today. The Holy Spirit brings the love of Christ into our hearts today. That's what the Holy Spirit has been doing for 2,000 years, and he's continuing to do that. And I know that's true because I heard what Jesus said to the disciples on the night before he was crucified. In John 14, 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit allows us to abide in the presence of the Lord every day. Without the Holy Spirit, the gospel would have no power today. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts and makes us receptive to the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit that condemns our sin and makes us look unto Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is the Holy Spirit that guides and leads us to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the power of the gospel. As far as the gospel is concerned, God the Father provided the plan for our salvation. Jesus Christ provided the sacrifice necessary for our salvation. But the power did not come until the Holy Spirit arrived. The power didn't come until the Holy Spirit arrived. Look at what Jesus told his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says to them as they stood looking up, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power and you shall be witnesses, is what the Lord said. Those are the commandments from the Lord. So we must declare the gospel with boldness because it represents the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord has given his power. We must become his witnesses. We must declare the gospel with boldness because it is the power of God. We must declare the gospel because the gospel revealed the power of God's promises. God's promises are always sure and always true, and you can stand on the promises of God. The Bible said, though it may tarry, wait on it, it'll surely come. We must declare the gospel because the gospel reveals the power of the Son of God. And Jesus warned that we should not be ashamed to declare his word or he'll be ashamed of us. In Mark 8:38, he says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So we must declare the gospel because the gospel reveals the power of the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost power. And when we have Holy Ghost power, we can change the world. With the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can change the world. But first, the change must occur in us. Before you can change the world, the change must happen in you first. And now we return to the question with which we started. Where do we get this boldness and this power to witness? The boldness to declare the gospel does not come because we know a lot of scriptures about Jesus. The boldness comes because we know Jesus Christ personally. The boldness does not come because we can tell all the steps that a person must take to be saved. The boldness comes because we can talk about the day that we took that step, when we stepped out trembling and shaking and leaning on the Lord. The boldness comes when you can tell how the power of God lifted you up out of the muck and the mire and put your feet on solid ground. The boldness comes when you can tell how the Lord washed your sins away and you knew that you were saved. The boldness comes when you can tell somebody, anybody, everybody how the gospel became the power of God to salvation in your life. Not just the theory, but your testimony. And you may not remember how you felt when God saved you, but I'll never forget how the Lord saved me. I'll never forget how he cleansed my soul. I'll never forget how he lifted me up. I'll never forget how he changed my mind. I thought that I needed all things so that I could enjoy life. And God gave me a new life so that I could enjoy all things. I'll never forget how God saved me through the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell it for the rest of my days. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. There are some things in my life today, or in my life in the past, that I'm ashamed to talk about today. God has forgiven me for all things, and I don't bring it to mind, but I know that I've been forgiven. But I'm ashamed to think about some of the things that I've done in my past. And there have been some things that I've said that I wish those words would have never left my heart and my lips. Things I'd be ashamed to bring up now. So there are many things that I've said, thought, or done for which I'm now ashamed. But there's one thing that I can say today and forevermore. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to tell it to the high and to the mighty. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to tell it to the meek and the lowly. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to tell it to the rich. I'm going to tell it to the poor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to tell it in the morning. I'm going to tell it in the evening. I'm going to tell it at noon. I'm going to tell it at the midnight hour. I'm going to tell how the Lord found me and fixed me when I was broken and bruised. I'm going to tell how the Lord found me and guided me when I was lost and confused. I'm going to tell how the Lord found me and washed me when I was soiled and sinful. I'm going to tell how the Lord came alive in my life and gave me a life worth living. I don't know what the Lord has done for you, but I'm going to tell my story. I'm not ashamed. I'm going to tell it for as long as I live. And I don't know what the Lord has done for you, but if he has touched you, you ought to say something. You ought to say, thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. And then you ought to go out and tell the world that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Don't be ashamed. Tell the story. Tell the story. And if God has not yet touched you, just ask him. That's all you do. Ask him, and he'll come and touch you. And you know the power of God in your life. Jesus speaks from the Bible and tells us this in Revelation 3:20, where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. That's all it takes. God is standing at the door, knocking, asking to get in. All you have to do is open up and receive the power of the gospel in your life. At this time, we'll ask the choir to come and sing for us. If we can sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain one more time. In just a moment, we're going to have an altar call, but right now, I'd like to give the invitation to discipleship as the congregation stands. If you have heard this gospel and you want to let Jesus into your heart so that you can declare the gospel, when the call is given, you come. If you're without a church home and you'd like to join this fellowship, when the call is given, you come. If you've already received the gospel, but you want to ask God for the strength to rededicate your life to spreading the word, when the call is given, you come. If you want to give thanks, when the call is given, you come. If you want to ask God to help you with something in your life, when the call is given, you come. All those who would like to join the Lord for the very first time, or join this fellowship right now. The call to you is given right now. Will you come?